He doesn't play fair at all. When you're down and bleeding, he'll kick you and cut you again. And this is a picture of what's happening at the cross and on the cross that will happen to us at our most vulnerable times.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This message was taken from a brand new sermon series. This is Why Your Faith Needs the Cross, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
When was it that Samson made up his mind that I'm going to take a nap? Well, it was at the very moment when he was the most tired. The Bible says that the man was powerful, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him at different times. He picks the gates up, ties foxes' tails together. After they send Samson, they'll see the real hero. Come on, somebody. So it is there at that place that Satan's suggestions to give up your faith are actually entertained within our soul, because we're at a place of vulnerability, just like Jesus in the wilderness, etc. And what is the suggestion? The suggestion is there another way? Hear what I'm telling you. And this goes along with what I just talked to you about. Because the enemy will always offer a different way other than the cross way. Your faith begins and ends at the cross. You don't hear nothing else I say, you need to take that down. Your faith begins and ends at the cross. There is no resurrection Sunday without the cross of Christ. There first must be a death before there can be a resurrection. I'm afraid that we're preaching so much in churches today, resurrection life sermons, that people are still alive in their sins, trying to come alive in Christ. The two won't match. Jesus becomes now, in this reading here tonight, the very physical illustration of what it means to keep my faith in the right place for victory over every temptation and power of hell. So, with you writing it down, you must stay on the cross for him, just as he stayed on the cross for you. What is Satan's goal? It is to tempt your faith to something other than the cross of Christ. Now, some of you may have heard this message before, but I promise you it won't be the last time that you hear it from this pulpit, because I don't have another message. I don't have another message. 10 ways to do this. 5 ways to flip around and be a new person. 6 ways to get rich. If you believe that, I got some property waterfront in Arizona to sell you. I'm saying to you tonight, there is no other way other than Jesus Christ and him crucified for salvation and for continued victory in your life every day of your life. I'm about to give you the power message here tonight. So this is a critically important thing for you to know, and these 3 facts that you need to know about your enemy. First of all, the Bible says we can know his tactics, his ways, the wiles of the devil. We can know the schemes of the devil. If we are in tune with the Lord, walking with the Lord, and we're studying the Word of God, nothing the enemy sends our way to try to tempt us or get us away from the cross will work, because we are already aware of his tactics. Now, anybody in the military in this building, or a former person serving in the military, already knows that the study of your enemy is the key to winning the battle in the war. You train and you get yourself prepared, but the better you know your enemy. And so now we're learning our lesson, okay? And I hear rumblings about it. I was talking to my father-in-law about it last night. The Russians went into Afghanistan to fight the Taliban and all those folks over there. And after a while, they said, you know what? This is a dead-end road. They didn't pack anything up. In fact, they left everything that was on the battlefield, tanks, weapons, guns. They just abandoned it, and it was picked up by the Taliban and everybody else and used later on, and they went back to Russia. And I think that our leaders in the United States are beginning to come full circle and saying, wow, why didn't we learn from the Russians? Because this is like the never-ending battle over there. And I understand the initial going in, but listen, that thing's been in turmoil now for years. And if anybody thinks that they're going to figure all that stuff out, they need to wake up and smell the coffee, proverbially. You know what I'm saying? Because the bottom line is, we've been entrenched in a situation, and the enemy loves to get you out of focus. Are you hearing me? Doesn't mean we don't have to engage, but I'm saying to you that just like the Russians, they found themselves bogged down in a situation that they finally said, you know what, it's time for us to just go to the house. Their economy was imploding, all that kind of thing. This is the tactic of the enemy, to get you in a place where you're in a vulnerable state, bogged down in a situation where you start questioning, I wonder if this cross thing really works. I wonder if any of you have ever been tempted like this when the little imp gets up on your shoulder and whispers in your ear and says, you're not saved. Or, salvation doesn't really take all that, does it? How about this one? Because I've heard them all. How about this? How about, what if this whole thing, what if this whole going to church, Jesus thing, is a great big farce and you have spent money, time, and energy going to church? Here you are on a Wednesday night when you could be sitting at home watching Everybody Loves Raymond. Somebody's going, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know that? You've got to know the tactics of the devil if you're going to defeat him. What he uses on you. Secondly, Satan can only attack the believer for a limited amount of time. Thank God for three amens over there that's with me here tonight. Why is the attack so intense on our mind, so constant, so unexplainable? Because Satan knows, the Bible said, that his time is short. It's getting shorter by the day. That's the reason why he's ramping it up on you. Well, why don't he go hit somebody else? Because you must be doing something. See, why? If you just won't get up early in the morning and pray and read your Bible, you probably could get a few of these attacks off your back. If you won't think about the Lord and give him praise during the day, you probably could get some of this off. But I just came to tell you tonight, keep enduring, because he only has a limited amount of time. And when that time is up, God's going to pull his chain. Come on, somebody. The third thing, as a believer, you are guaranteed victory inside of your life. God has the foolproof plan for victory inside of your life. If I stay with my faith in the right place, Pastor, how can you say it's guaranteed? Because of what Christ did on the cross for every last human being that's ever been born or ever will be born. Are you hearing me? This is critical. Now, get this on your paper right here, because why Jesus stayed on the cross. First of all, these scriptures, I don't have time to be able to expound on them, but he could not disobey, the Bible says, his Father. Luke 22 and 42, Psalm 40 and verse number 8, Jesus would not disobey his Father. He says in Luke 22, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So if you are in, if you're wanting to be able to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and I believe what Christ has done for me on the cross completely, no questions asked, then your answer when the Lord says, do this or do that, based upon what you read out of the Word of God, if it comes and hits you, it's not condemnation, it's conviction. Please know the difference between the two. Condemnation comes from the devil and gives you no hope. Conviction comes through the Holy Spirit and gives you the door of hope every time. So what's the point? The point is Jesus would not disobey his Father. The will, listen to this, the will of Jesus Christ in this life while he was walking on this earth, he was born to die. Now I want you to think about this in light of even what I've spoken to you about before I got in this lesson. Because while in modern thought in churches today that grace is greasy, you just slide in and slide out and act any old way and live any old way you want to, I want to inform all of you and all of you that are watching, there was the most awesome price that has ever been paid by any mortal being and anybody, anytime, any place. So this was not some casual thing for casual Christianity. This was the laying down of the life of the only begotten of the Father. So for us to treat it with contempt by going and coming out of church or going and coming out of our relationship with God on some casual basis, and then when we get in a crisis, want to scream out, God, help me. What's the point? The point is we need to stay put where God put us and say, Lord, I will not disobey your will for my life, even if it brings me through the places of the greatest pain. I know you did it before me, and if you went through, I can go through also if I'll do the will of the Father. Come on now. Jesus turned around on his disciples and said, do you love me? That was the easy part. Then he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand out here tonight how many of you have kept his commandments. Because every one of us would have to drop our arm. But for the grace of God, there's where the grace kicks in. All right, secondly, why did Jesus stay on the cross? Because he could not break the scripture. Now, what's the point? If Jesus is the Messiah, prophesied in the Old Testament more than 500 times that is to come. For instance, in the book of Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, he speaks there to us about the Messiah being cut off as an indicator of the genuine Messiah. Listen now. There's a lot of folks calling themselves Messiah. During the time of Jesus, there was a lot of people calling themselves Messiah. Today, there's a lot of people calling themselves Messiah. Okay? What's the point? There's only one. Where did I hear this from the other day? Can't remember. A mathematician calculated out the odds of one man fulfilling to the absolute 100% degree every prophecy for the coming Messiah. And it was like 17 to the 10th or 13th power. I think they described it as taking a silver dollar, and putting it in the middle of the state of Texas, and then putting another silver dollar and making rings all the way around, filling the entirety of the state of Texas, and then stacking up at least 12 more levels of those same coins as to this, these prophecies being fulfilled in one man. And ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you tonight the only Messiah, the King of the universe, the original Superman, the one who fulfilled everything to the absolute letter of the law, none other than Jesus Christ himself.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.